right, time being 7:02, I call to order the Franklin School Committee meeting. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29, as well as recorded by Franklin Matters. All right, so I'm going to begin with our pledge student. Michael Ayalua. If you want to, Michael is an eighth grade student at Horace Mann Middle School. Michael is a passionate musician and an engaged student. We're pleased to have him represent our school tonight. Michael is an honor student at HMMS and is described by his teachers as a kind, hard-working young man with a great attitude and a love of music. Michael plays the French horn, commonly referred to as a horn, in the HMMS Symphony Band. He plays in the Honors Band and has qualified for the Central District Music Festival the past 2 years. Michael is interested in continuing his musical pursuits at FHS next year. In addition to music, Michael has great interests in astronomy and geography. I'm sure he greatly enjoyed the solar eclipse. And he has a goal of traveling to Italy. So with the great pleasure that Mrs. Motti and the Horace Mann teachers recognize Michael tonight, we thank him for all the ways he has a positive impact on the Horace Mann Middle School community. All will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now, as is customary, we'll pause for a moment of silence. Thank you all very much. You guys want to get out of here. All right. Routine business, review of agenda. Agenda look good? All right. Payment of bills taken care of. Payroll?
Payroll is in order.
All right. Let's see. FHS student reps.
No. Unfortunately, we do not have any FHS student reps tonight. It's we're hitting that stride, April stride. April, May, and June typically become pretty competitive in the evenings for folks to tune in, particularly our students as things happen. So we do not have any tonight.
All right, then superintendent's report.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I have a few updates to share with you. The first, I'm excited to share, we recently received an update from the facilities department and the wastewater department on regarding how much compactor tonnage and the frequency of dumping that's decreased since implementing the food recycling program at Helen Keller, Remington Jefferson, and Horace Mann. To date, 70.7 tons, all-encompassing, of waste have been removed from the regular waste stream since we've implemented the program. You may recall last year it made the news. I believe it was at Keller, but it was representative of all of our complexes. And the weight also includes compostable paper products and other additional food waste. These are AgriCycle numbers. So I'll provide a breakdown for you across all the schools, but the overall is 70 tons. And that will be shared, I believe, at the town council meeting from the wastewater department and facilities. But just kudos to everyone involved. When I think about that project, when it was brought to our attention, we met as a school department with our principals. Ms. Motti happens to be in the crowd. We had all three of our middle schools engage with the facilities department, our custodial department, and the wastewater department of the DPW to really come together and figure out how would this work. What do the students need to do on their end? What do the teachers need to do? And it was really a great example of coming together as a community for a common goal, which is to try to eliminate as much unnecessary waste in the environment. So that's a really positive thing. Really excited to announce that senior project has started. So we have close to 200 FHS seniors who began senior project on Monday, April 8th. These seniors will engage in a 70-hour internship demonstrating the knowledge, skills, and maturity they've achieved throughout their high school career or school career. Student projects that they usually choose an area of study that is an interest or an area they plan to work so that they can gain practical experience before graduating high school. Senior project is unique a unique opportunity for our students to engage in some real authentic learning and experiential learning of an area of interest, and we look forward to their presentations, which will take place on May 21st. I put a save the date in all of your calendars about 6 months ago, probably, for that date. And typically, if you can make it, the school committee and some of the central office staff and other folks have the opportunity to basically rate their projects and rate the presentations. There's a rubric, there's expectations for what needs to be included and reflective components. So it's a really great night, and it's great to see these students who will graduate only weeks later and enter and become citizens in Franklin move on. So it's very exciting, and it's a great plug for the community that we have this in our high school, which is excellent. We have been engaging in the school facilities assessment. We conducted a series of forums that have been designed to gather stakeholder feedback that builds off of the Portrait of a Graduate application workshop that occurred with a representative group, the Visioning, which was a two-day workshop. You heard Dr. Locker present last meeting. We took that information on the road and basically have met with the secondary level, the elementary level. Tomorrow we'll meet with our administrative team, and we had the community last night to engage in some of the outcomes and concepts that have come forward from the Visioning and the Portrait of a Graduate work. In addition, we included some of the work and updates from the Educational Adequacy, which includes the architect's work around walking through buildings and facilities. So I anticipate having another communication with a summary of feedback from these meetings, and we've received a lot of great input. And I think our master planner and the educational architect are working really hard to help us create a very clear picture of the options, along with the benefits and challenges with any of the options. So I anticipate more information as we move through the April break, April vacation, and upon return. The goal is to provide options and recommendations to the school committee that build out a clear multi-year strategy that allow us to make some decisions that are in the best interest of the district. But as I said, we're about two-thirds of the way through some of these stakeholder groups, and we'll have to continue to engage in conversations, but it's been a successful process so far. Last one, half day, April 14th, it's a Friday. It's this Friday, right before the April break. The educators will have time to reflect on their goals from the year and compile evidence to showcase their work throughout the year. As April break approaches, I want to say lastly, we want to wish our students, our families, and our staff and our leaders a safe and restful break as we look forward to having students return on Monday, April 22nd. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Open the floor for questions or comments.
Yep. So thank you for that, and appreciate the updates, especially with the facilities planning, and just kind of how that's all running forward. I do want to make sure that we have the potential to have this called out regularly. And kind of, you know, really detail what exactly we're talking about. You know, I think facilities planning is, we understand, we're in here often, we see exactly what we're talking about, but really making sure that the community understands that this is a concept of whether we have to, you know, prioritize which schools we're able to really kind of focus on and, mm-hmm. and maintain, but then also whether we have to reorganize how people, like the districts, right. if we have to go through redistricting. So I think that that's, it was great that you, you know, brought that information here, but I do think we need to make sure that that's a very specific call out, and we use the terminology that people are going to recognize, right. So that we make sure that we promote that community engagement, right. so no one comes up later and feels like we were talking about facility, you know, facility planning, not redistricting, or not, you know, the potential to modify kind right. of the plan for maintaining schools. So
yeah, that's great feedback. I will say during the one of the committee groups, the parents, some of the acronyms was a great example of it may make sense if you're in the education space, but it may not if you're not. So I think that was a bit of a good reminder. The second thing I'll say is during one of the educator meetings, they appreciated some of the clarity and some of the just information that was shared, but there's still pieces where we're really trying to engage through a process. And I think the more that we can share, I use the word measured transparency, as to not create noise, but be really clear and deliberate about what we share and how we share it. But I think I agree with everything that you said around being able to bring people along and make sure that we're making the information accessible and understandable.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yep. So I do have three questions tied to the facilities and wastewater removal. Mm-hmm. So the 70 tons, is that for just FY24, or is that total since the program has started?
My understanding is that's total since the program started.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, definitely amazing.
That's my understanding. If I'm wrong, we'll know tomorrow night whenever the next meeting is when Mike might present it.
Okay, perfect.
You know, Steve, were you at the
town council tomorrow night?
Okay, so then I think they might share more.
Okay, thank you. And then do we know what the cost savings that the town or the school district has received because of this program?
No, I don't have any cost figures associated with it. I only knew the amount of tonnage because they track the tonnage.
Yep.
That's the only information I had.
Gotcha. Okay. No worries. Thank you. And if we can find that, that'd be good. Just to once again, another place that we put investment in, either be it time or money, to save something back. Because I would think that the cost of transport, the waste, it adds up over time. So, and the last question, I love the program, and I think it just helps our students become better world citizens and really just making sure that we're caring for the planet. I did hear a while back ago, I think there was a student at JFK that proposed potentially using, instead of using plastic utensils, transitioning to metal. Has that ever gone anywhere, or has that bubbled up to you?
It has not come across my desk, but that doesn't mean that it didn't have legs or land somewhere. I have not heard that, but I can check with the school.
Gotcha. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for this presentation, these updates. I would like to echo my colleagues' enthusiasm for the recycling program. I think it's wonderful that we're engaging in this and both setting an excellent example for our student and student population in terms of sustainability in the future, but also that we're really living out our values as a school system. So, yeah, I mean, any potential that we have for this expansion, that would be excellent to hear and develop in the future. So, I mean, yeah, 70.7 tons, that's incredible. So, yeah.
We were an early adopter in the program as well, and what I'm learning is the infrastructure on the back end of where that goes and how that's done, that's a continued area where they're focusing to create almost like we have for waste disposal, a network that's been established for multiple decades to have a similar system. So we were in early on this, and I think that was to our benefit, but I'm very excited to see where this goes and how we continue to find efficiencies in this area and savings and not have the amount of trash in the stream.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when was the program started again?
We started this last spring. Am I right on that? Yes, last spring. So. Okay. Okay. So it would have been in the fall. Annie Sullivan was the fall. Remington was the winter. Horace Mann was the spring. So, during last school year, we phased it in over the three complexes.
Okay. So 70.7 tons within the course of essentially a year. So.
Correct.
That's wow. Oh, that's incredible. Thank you.
I just wanted to. I've heard a lot from the students over at the middle schools about some of the senior projects and how the kids are going to be involved with, like, helping with the music program, the orchestra, and, like, the art program. And the kids are really excited about that because they bump into these kids at, like, the lifelong learning and things. So any chance you can get the high school kids in front of the middle school kids, it's, like, such a win. So, I just wanted to kind of point that out, and they're excited. So thanks. The other thing, to your point, Al, I know that I want to get her name right. I forget her name, but her last name is Dave. She is a friend of my daughter's sister who reached out to me to get information on the food services because she wanted to bring compostable utensils to the district. It was like a science project thing she was working on. So it may be in the works. I haven't checked in on her, but I sort of pointed her to the right direction, and she was doing it for me. Maybe it was her civics project. So I'll try and see if I can find out where she is at that. So
that's a good,
kind of a cool project. Yeah. Yeah, somebody else thought of that too. So anyway, thanks.
I'll bring that to Colin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Lucas. It's a great presentation, and I have only one question. That's a couple of parents reached out to me about the food service, what we were providing, and really appreciate for that. All those. Is there any cost saving we involved in this?
With the food service program?
Yes.
What I'm understanding is people are appreciating the food service program that we have?
Yes.
Oh, great. This is great. I love it. It's the best news I've heard all week. All right. I would say that we're really proud of our food service program, and Colin is our food service director, Colin Boisvert, and he does a lot with partnerships. And I'll just give, I think there was a presentation months back where he talked about He does a meat share, basically a co-op, where we're coming together with a variety of communities to purchase our beef and those products. He's contracted with an organic farm down the road, Silverwood Farm, where he's at the point where he's talking to them in the fall about what they're going to seed and plant for us in the spring. He's that involved because he's thinking about his menu, and it's really planful. The third piece is Red's Best is a seafood company where a conglomerate, I don't know if it's a conglomerate, I might be misusing that word, I'm in the public sector, so forgive me. But anyway, he's worked with Red's Best to provide seafood to the district in many ways. I think you've seen that on some of the menus and posted online. So we're really grateful because what he's been able to do and how he's been able to do it. He has a chef on staff that's able to buy in bulk, prep it there, send it to the middle school so that it's consistent around the food products. There's a savings, cost savings there, and he does all this within his own budget, which is basically has to self-fund. So he does phenomenal work, and we're really lucky to have him in the program. And my children say the same thing about the food and whatnot. So thank you for sharing. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. All right, so we kind of will move along to guest presentations. We had Horace Mann highlights.
All right. So we're joined tonight by the Horace Mann principal, Rebecca Motti, and the Horace Mann assistant principal, Jen Santasuso, who's joining us. Folks online may recognize Jen from her role as a high school assistant principal, but she has been working at the Horace Mann Middle School for the last few months. Two months, and we're really excited to have her join that team, and I'm excited to hear about the highlights at Horace Mann, and I'll kick it over to you, Becky.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for having us here tonight to highlight Horace Mann Middle School. I'm Becky Motti. I'm the principal. I am in my ninth year as the principal at Horace Mann, and I will let Jen, I know Lucas just did, but I'll let Jen say hello to everybody as well while we get technology going.
Hi, Jen Santasuso. This is my fifth year as an assistant principal in the district, and like Superintendent Jagir said, I've been working at Horace Mann alongside Becky for the last couple months.
It's been great having Jen here. We just thought we would bring a few highlights, really focusing on community and who we are as a school, and then how we're trying to connect with both from the Franklin community all the way down to the classroom level. So this is a little bit about us. We are the home of the Lightning, and we have four core values that we try to promote in our school through the work that we do educationally, but also just the day-to-day living, the life of a middle school student. Those core values are community, achievement, growth, and respect. And I think if I were to highlight, it's hard to highlight one because I feel like we weave these four ideas into almost everything that we do every day. But community has definitely been something that's been a huge focus for us as we invite new people into our community, as we partner with different groups, as our students come back from having a time where they couldn't live as a cohesive community in the day-to-day operations of school life. It's been important to really promote that and to name that whenever we are doing things to come together and to do things that positively impact one another as a community. You'll see this picture of some of our eighth graders. We live by also the six pillars of character. Those are trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and citizenship. We have a PBIS, which is a positive behavioral I always forget the I word, interventions and supports. We promote when we see students live those six pillars in action because they're big words and we can say them, but what do they mean as in the life of an 11 or 12 year old? So we try to promote that when we see that. And when we do, teachers will highlight it. Students can earn a six pillar card. They put their name into a drawing and we draw for gift cards every month. And that's just a way to really recognize and name and highlight what we see every day, living by those six pillars as well as our core values. We're also aligned districtly. So the district sets its goals, and we also are one of three middle schools, as you know, so we are also aligned across the three middle schools with Annie Sullivan Middle School and Remington Middle School. We've set our middle school district goals to be social-emotional well-being, not just of our students, but of our staff, rigorous and engaging curriculum, high-quality instruction, two-way communication, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You hear these words a lot, and so I hope to paint a little bit of a picture of what that looks like at the middle level at least in our school community, from this year. Community partnerships, again, that word community, and for us it's about not just within the four walls of our school, but within our entire community and beyond. And I'm really proud to say that through the relationships that our staff members have built professionally, in the relationships we as a school have with different partners, different organizations that you can see on this slide, it's really about bringing great elevating the experiences for our students with these partnerships. So the Franklin Public Library is one area where we've really tried to partner, not just our school, but across the middle level. We've implemented BLAST, which is our program we've had for multiple years. That's bringing libraries and schools together and really building that partnership between the local librarians as well as our reading specialists to help students identify good books to read, to align literature with the curriculum standards that we're learning every day in the classroom. And another partnership that our reading specialist has promoted the last couple of years is a graphic novelist coming to the local library. We have him coming in May for a pen-to-picture graphic novelist panel, in addition to some of our visiting author experiences during the school year. We want to make sure that we provide those experiences for all different interests, for all different areas of writing and reading, and that's been a great partnership with the library. We've also earned some grant money through the Franklin Cultural Council. They've been a valued partner for many years for our school, whether that's through our visiting author grant. We had Jordan Sonnenblick join us this year, or for other enrichment activities within our school. We've partnered with the Franklin Food Pantry and the SAFE Coalition doing food drives and coat drives this year, a way to get our students involved outside of outside in the community through the work that we do here in school. And we've also partnered with local businesses like Escape Into Fiction, either having book sales there or even inviting them to come and sell their Sonnenblick titles so that we could just, again, bring that community together and partner with different people who have that expertise. They were able to host our Jordan Sonnenblick community event. It was really well attended, and it was a great community event that built off of what we did in the middle schools. We also try to bring in guest speakers as much as possible. Mr. Vaca is in the audience tonight, and he has built a long-lasting professional relationship with Janet Applefield, who is a Holocaust survivor and has recently published her memoir. We're bringing her back again, not only to this, to our school for eighth graders, but we are trying to have that experience for across all three middle schools. Genocide education is something, as you know, the state is implementing that we put into place for all three grades. This is something that Horace Mann has really been promoting, the education of the Holocaust and Holocaust education, for many years. So this is really complementary to the work that Mr. Vaca and others have done for many years. But bringing somebody like Janet Applefield has really been a culminating event for our eighth graders, and to just have that experience of meeting someone who's had such a history and such a life experience is pretty amazing. And then when you think of, you know, Janet and her amazing life, and then somebody like Maris Wicks, who's a Horace Mann alum, and has kept a relationship with the seventh grade teachers, Mr. Don Tremont being one of them. She is a science illustrator. She illustrates science graphic novels, and she has come back to our school several times to talk with our seventh graders about where her love of science actually took her down a path of writing and illustrating. And again, it's just a great way for our students to see, similar to what Ruth Ann, you were saying about the senior high school students, to see people who are now working in different jobs and professions, but that can relate to their own middle school experience to that. Like I said, we had Jordan Sonnenblick come for our visiting author. I'm proud to say that this is the third time that he's come, so we've had 9 years of middle school students experience Jordan Sonnenblick. He's another student, another author, forgive me, who writes about the middle school experience, so it's really something that we connects very well with students. I know Jen was able to attend the whole school assembly, and I think the messaging, if you want to talk a little bit about the messaging, maybe.
Sure. Excuse me. Yeah, he was exciting. He was so engaging. The students even commented afterward, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I was so engaged the entire time. My mind didn't wander. And I think it's because he spoke to them as a former middle school student who just had a struggle to focus in class, wasn't the ideal student, but was able to channel that in documenting some of his experiences and these books that kids love to read and that they find funny and they can identify with. So it was just wonderful to have someone who has taught middle school and who writes about middle school age kids come and speak to them directly. And I just want to give a shout out to Erin O'Leary, our reading specialist, and everyone who partnered with her to make that happen. Even leading up to that, I mean, I know we participated in read-alouds. Kids would go to different rooms with different teachers who would read some of his book. And so it's just such a great way to buy in student interest and then allow them to continue that during our flex time where they've been reading for the first 20 minutes. So it's also a great literacy program, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's what we try to do with any experience that we create. We also want to layer it in so that it has meaning, so that it relates, so that it touches as many students as possible. So you'll see in some pictures later, all students participated in a whole school assembly with Jordan Sonnenblick, but then we had small group sessions where students could either have like a book club meeting with him to talk about the books and how he writes, and then also a writing session. So students who wanted to deepen that experience, they had some small group experiences, and as Jen mentioned, everybody read some of his book or listened to a read aloud of some of his books, because we want that visiting author experience to be meaningful for everybody to whatever capacity we can. We also partner with the YMCA. We have our sixth graders go for a team building and high ropes or rope team building afternoon, where they also receive some anti-bullying education. That's part of the partnership and where the YMCA has grown in their programming. So that's, again, just something to go even local within either Franklin or North Attleboro, depending on the ropes course that we choose, just to be able to receive some of their expertise and some of their experiences that our students wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And then lastly, I wanted to give a shout out to our school resource officer, Officer Amanda Eyre. She has been a huge partner for us, even in the day-to-day, but also when we identify themes that we want to really make sure that we're talking to our students about and they're understanding the community impact beyond just the school. So we invite her to team meetings, whether we're meeting with students at a grade level to talk about things like harassment or things like social media. And then furthermore, when we identify themes like parent education for or family education for things like social media, we recently had a school council meeting where we invited families to come, and Officer Eyre had prepared a presentation with Officer Gove that really, I think, spoke to just some of the things that, as a police officer, what they're noticing, and then we could also partner with what we're seeing from a school perspective to just build some of that education and awareness to ask and answer each other's questions and to brainstorm things that we can do to better educate our students, to better educate our families, and to all be aware of how we can help students navigate and have a healthy relationship with social media and technology. So beyond that, community and citizenship are two words, our core values, and also one of our six pillars. And I think in the life of a middle school student, they are growing, they are changing, they are understanding the world in a different way. So we really try to promote that idea of where they can step into leadership, where they can show positive citizenship, where they can show a positive impact on the school community. In some ways, we've seen a little bit of a shift that we've had to make, because things like our community service club or student council, those things are not a part of our day-to-day this year, but I'm proud to share that we still have some ways in which we are promoting this within our students, in our school community, and our students are really continuing to step up in these ways. Peer Leaders is in partnership with the Anti-Defamation League. This is our seventh year where we've been training a group of 7th and 8th grade students from each middle school, and then they then go and teach some lessons about inclusivity, respect, tolerance to our 6th graders. So just again, that partnership with an outside group, but also to build that that leadership within our students within the school setting. We did get word this year that the Anti-Defamation League is not continuing the Peer Leader program beyond this year, so we will have to find other partnerships and other people to collaborate with in this way. But I really do feel like through our work with them, we've created a lifelong partner in just asking for that help and support whenever we need it from representatives of the Anti-Defamation League as we're working through diversity, equity, inclusion, different things that might pop up along the way as a school community. some of the things that we've asked our students to still step into without a community service club are things like leading a food drive, leading a spirit week, decorating our halls so that there's positive messaging, and those are some things that we've had a lot of different students step in to do as the year has gone by. You'll see the recent haul that they've collected in our food drive, where the food pantry had to bring their truck to pick it up. Really great to see that just on a daily basis they're committed to understanding what the needs are of the food pantry, making it a fun and engaging. We had it be a competition between advisories on who was bringing in these different items, identifying the high needs items of the pantry, and then really making sure that we connected with the food pantry to bring those items to them. Those are a couple of pictures of our peer leaders in action. They will go through different activities and different lessons. They, again, become trained to then teach our sixth grade students some of these lessons. And again, seeing students teach and be in those leadership roles, I think, is really important for our sixth graders. And then just a couple of our fun pictures that are up, just to keep our hallways positive and to, again, tap into the skills of our students in our hallway artists. Unified basketball is another thing that we've continued for a second year, building off of the high school program. Our music program, we've heard and seen some of our students, our pledge student students then turn into music mentors, whether through lifelong learning or even sometimes our seventh and eighth graders will attend sixth grade rehearsals to build some of that mentoring skill. And then, like I said, living by those six pillars is another way where we recognize student leadership and where we've been able to continue doing that despite not having clubs or some things this year. The PCC is another partnership that's been hugely valuable for us, and we continue to build. I think the middle school PCCs are always looking for more volunteers and more participation, but I'm so lucky to have the group that I do have, and they've been really working hard to commit to the funding for field trips, the funding for enrichment activities, like I said, helping us spear our food and clothing drives, social experiences. They really wanted to make sure our students were engaging in some of those fun evening activities as well, and so a winter social was a new tradition that our school started this year, and here are some pictures from that. It was a great night, and the students really enjoyed it, and it was great to see how many parents came together to provide that opportunity for our school community. We wouldn't have been able to do it without the number of volunteers that we had and their generous donations. We've also, again, without having a yearbook club, have our PCC managing our yearbook, so we're able to promote all of the things that we do in that way. And this is what we're able to get through a lot of that partnership, are just some really hands-on, authentic experiences for our students. So these are some pictures from our recent field trips. Save the Bay is a great organization that our seventh and sixth graders participate in, either looking at the salt marshes and examining the salt marshes at Colt State Park for our seventh graders, or actually taking a boat ride in Narragansett Bay in Providence with our sixth graders to talk about water quality and to talk about the impact of humans on the water and the ecosystem in the bay. So just things to build their awareness. We have students up on those rope courses, challenging themselves as they start off as sixth graders. And like I said, some of these small pictures of our small groups that got to meet with Jordan Sonnenblick, as well as a visit to the State House. With our civics curriculum, we've built an eighth grade field trip to tour the State House. And it's interesting, our students in elementary school do that, but to see them then do it as eighth graders, again, with the level of knowledge and awareness that they have, it's been really meaningful to hear some of their anecdotal reactions to how meaningful that experience is for them. And so these are just things that I want to make sure we're showing, that these things are happening with all of those community partnerships that we're engaging with. And what that's doing is it's enhancing and complementing the work that we're doing in the classroom every day. So there's a lot of work that's going on to make sure that we have that high quality instruction and that engaging and rigorous curriculum. These are a couple of pictures from taken in action from our classrooms. Open SciEd is a science curriculum that we're in the second year of implementing. Teachers are attending professional development to be able to roll out this very authentic phenomenon-based curriculum. This picture in the center is the launch of a unit in science where they're talking about sound waves, and so the launch is to take apart a speaker and to start asking questions about what parts go into the idea of making sound, and therefore the students from there continue to build off of that skill set or those initial questions to build and master the standards in that unit. Universal design for learning is something that we've really been focusing on at the middle level as well. That's eliminating barriers and using different instructional approaches to deepen student learning. So whether that's student applying their learning, like in this sketch of genotypes and phenotypes, of taking all that they've learned to adapt it to, in this case, the minions, if they're going to be yellow or purple, and what's recessive and what's dominant. But we've also had students do their own family traits and just being able to apply that to their own experiences, or an experience on a sitcom or something like that, which is actually really fun to see what's on their minds as eighth graders. Another thing that I want to highlight with Universal Design for Learning is the idea of small group instruction within the classroom. So just being able to group students and to be able to, in this case, one of our special ed teachers meeting with our students to give immediate feedback and to check in. And it's just the idea of building some really, designing the lessons and designing the instruction in a meaningful way to get as much out of the time that we have, and to get as much a building towards mastery as we can with our students. And then project-based learning, I think STEM is one great example of just the hands-on and the projects, again, creating those authentic experiences for our students in order to help them collaborate, learn to work with each other, and create products. The last thing I wanted to highlight was, as I was saying, like the community from the outside looking in, and the most, from the most micro lens, maybe just what a classroom looks like. It's no longer just one teacher sitting in front of the students. A lot goes in behind the scenes in order to make the rigorous, engaging curriculum and high quality instruction a reality. And so I just created a quick flow chart showing all of the steps, but then all of the people and time that's devoted to making something like literature circles. So in the case of literature circles, students get to select a novel, they read with a small group, and then they're applying whatever it is that the standards were decided at the start of that literature circle unit to be able to be learning and building towards mastery. So things like professional development time, but also important roles such as our humanities director, our curriculum leader, special educators, our reading specialists, and ELA teachers go into the steps of unit design, novel selection, the instructional design, and then how are we giving assessments and feedback to our students. So just wanted to be able to show the flow, and from even that more micro lens, there's so many steps and so many people involved in the work that we do every day. And then at the end, just bringing it back to our students, and a big thank you to all of you for everything that you do to support us at Horace Mann Middle School.
Thank you both very much. Fantastic presentation. Appreciate everything. And Jen, too, really a special call out as well. Just for your flexibility this year. I think there's a lot of, smiles with that one. It was wonderful hearing you kind of come on board, just both as a school committee member, but as a dad of a kiddo at the school. So thank you very much for the flexibility this year. Greatly appreciated. But with that, though, open the floor to questions and comments.
Great program. I became a big fan of Osman School now. Thing is, which program supports the anti-bullying program? Like, what program you have for anti-bullying?
So we have, like I said, they get a small dip of that in our sixth grade when they go to the YMCA. There's an anti-bullying component to that. We also have, as part of our health curriculum, an anti-bullying unit. The program that the teachers are using is called Second Step. It's part of it's a social-emotional curriculum, and it captures the five competencies of social emotional learning. It's also something that we use that unit for the bullying unit for in our health classes, and then a majority of the lessons in the other three units we teach through our advisory program, which is the start of our day.
That's all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great presentation.
Thank you. Sure. I've got two kids over at Horace Mann, so I know it's a challenge being a middle school educator, administrator these days. I wanted to just, one of the things, and Jen, we do hear all the smiles. We do hear the frowns from the high school, too. You're somebody who I hear from teachers widely respected and appreciated as an administrator. So
for what you do. So, you know, hang on, we're going to get you guys this budget fixed, you know. But I'm curious, just one of the, you know, with the clubs not being here this year, I get concerned about, you know, obviously middle schoolers, the bullying is always a category. Specific to the LGBTQ community, I think back, I came to, they had sort of a, our town council had a big forum not too long ago where it was debated whether or not the town would raise a pride flag. You know, some people saw it political, some people saw it as an overarching kind of inclusivity message. That's my point of view. And so without having that club, as kids are sort of navigating, you know, that tween age, like I know, I think it used to be Miss Flaherty and stuff, is that, that's not happening anymore, right? That particular
So the group? Club's not happening, no, right. which is unfortunate. I am happy to say, though, through our advisory program, that has been something that we've made sure that we wanted to address, so that all three schools, with our advisory being aligned across all three middle schools, and with not every middle school, I think two of the three had one of those LGBTQ clubs, we wanted to make sure that those types of, that type of lessons of acceptance or lessons of, again, who we are as a community were met for all of our students. So that is something that when we don't have things like clubs that will maybe design a week for our students to celebrate, there are other places like our advisory program being one of them that can help with some of those items that maybe aren't part of the curriculum standards but are very important to ensuring that our students are seen, that there's awareness, and that there's also education on the part of who we are as a community.
Yeah. It would be good to consider, and I know you guys, bandwidth's a problem. I know you need more people in the bodies in the schools. But just something to think about, and hopefully we can get those clubs back. I just, it's important to sort of convey that tolerance. I think some parents, what I'm hearing from parents whose kids are maybe navigating that a little bit and don't know what to do and how to manage it, and parents are a little bit not sure how to guide them, maybe throwing a couple of resources or like a, you know, some sort of message to the children, like, hey, you know, if you're struggling with this specific topic, here's like a point person who, like maybe a counselor, I don't know. I hear parents struggling with like how to advise their kids, and there used to kind of be a spot to get that kind of advice for the people who are actually navigating it personally. So just a thought.
It's a great idea, and our student services is another. We have two counselors in our student services office, and I think that's another place where we're looking for ways where they can reach out to our school community for different groups to form or for different, I know one of our counselors has created a newsletter for families to push out that way with some of those links. So those are ways that we are looking to continue to keep that that two-way communication for our students, but also for our families.
Yeah, because you want parents helping you, you know,
exactly.
create the environment. So the other thing I wanted to just mention is I was at the Spanish Honor Society induction that they had last week, and they had some Hispanic food out in the, and I know that some of those children, I talked to some of the parents, and some of the kids from the high school were going over to the middle schools and teaching some Spanish lessons. I think at Remington they did that. Again, anytime you can get their peers, like you guys know better than we do that the middle schools don't want to hear from their parents about anything ever. I know your kids are the same age. So anytime you can get, you know, high schoolers or anyone, I was just kind of, the language department specifically is like, seems to me an area where those kids are looking to do that. And I know the National Honor Society parents were like, is this going to continue? Like with the budget concerns, languages have been hit hard. So just to kind of keep in mind that there is like a, there's a definitely a demand for that, to try to not like, lose the momentum that we've had as a district. So for what it's worth, I know it's been addressed in the budget.
I know other things that we've done not the level of success that we that our goal is yeah. even partnering with high school clubs. So to your point of yeah. our older students within the district, how can they be of support? And I know that the clubs, the club offerings at the high school have been even more robust than the offerings at the middle level. Yeah. So being able to think about some of our advisory conversations have been trying to pair up with different clubs. I know when different clubs create middle school experiences, we just had the Scope Club promote an evening event for us. So we are trying to build that communication and to leverage what they're doing for our students and also to tap into some of their expertise or their desire to help build awareness and just that idea of community within our middle schools.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's like the goal. And,
yeah.
And with like a you know, more stable budget, you mm-hmm. probably will have a little more bandwidth to kind of do those things. Mm-hmm. I know Mr. Vaca back there, who's always here, is a legend in town. Yeah. There was some photos that I shared recently about, well, I mean, a lot of our educators are, but I shared a photo recently on the social media about him bringing some kids to the senior center.
Yes.
Things like that go so far mm-hmm. when it comes to like the community at large, understanding how education has evolved mm-hmm. and how this project-based learning and things like mm-hmm. this, like they do take investments, but the rewards are just humongous.
Yeah. So. And our opportunity for our students to interact with different members of the community mm-hmm. that don't walk yeah. into our schools but are very important and to build right. those relationships, I agree.
Right, and I was over there on Friday and I can tell you a lot of those seniors are saying to me, you know, don't put me in that category of a senior that doesn't support education. Like I'm gonna support this
yeah.
school. So it's good. So I know you hear always like, you know, people aren't fixed incomes, they don't want to support the schools. It's not all of them, so.
And I just want to promote that it's taken just that creativity on the part of our teachers
yeah.
to look for a grant or to look for a way to connect like Mr. Vaca has with the senior center or to, you know, make sure that we still have a food drive with the help of the PCC and our students. So just ways to make sure, like you said, that the momentum doesn't completely stop, but we find other ways. It is, you know, there is only so much that we can do. Those clubs provided a lot, but there is a lot of creativity and commitment still on the part of our teachers to ultimately create that, you know, that community, but also those citizenship and leadership lessons for our students.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate all you're doing. Awesome.
I do want to just remind everybody, we do keep minutes here at all of our meetings. So Mr. Vaca, being a legend, is now an official public record.
Nobody's going to talk to me at school.
Thank you both so much for this presentation and highlighting your school. It's absolutely apparent just how much building this community is a true value to not only both of you, but your entire team. I think it's, you know, wonderful how you mentioned you know, both, you know, call out in a positive way and reward demonstrations by the students of, you know, your core values. And I think that's excellent just for the leadership to really establish that culture of, you know, being, you know, kind and respectful to others and building that community. And just taking a look at, you know, the long list of community partnerships, you know, with the library, cultural council, food pantry, and local businesses, as well as the other opportunities you have for trips and other partnerships, you know, through the PCCs. It's you know, fantastic, just the enriching experience that you guys go really above and beyond to provide for the students here. So yeah, thank you very much for bringing this information to us. It's great to see what you're doing, and yeah, please keep up the good work.
Thank you.
excuse me. As always, thank you for everything you do. We know that the middle level, that's very pivotal in a student's life, and educators play a critical role because they're now expanding their scope of trusted adults. So thank you for what you and your staff do. Much appreciated. Just listen to this presentation. I am very encouraged, and I love that what you're doing regarding the literacy work, all of it, because with all of the things that our students at this level are being bombarded with, technology, you know, friends and whatnot, reading doesn't fall high on that list. So all the things that you're doing, at least to help engage them to find a way to kind of build that appreciation for the written word, is great in terms of getting the authors in, offering the audio books to listen to if they don't want to read it, because you never know what might kind of get somebody to grasp to it and dive in deeper. So thank you for that. And even just partnering with our local library, that's great, just to kind of bring literacy to the forefront. I know that's a tough one. I know we talk about math and sciences a lot, and it's easy to focus on that and see where people struggle, because there are people that are just not math people and there are people that are math people. But I think from a literacy perspective, you need that to help even understand math and understand and interpret what's being written in the test. So appreciate that. I did have a question, though, on the YMCA team building. Mm-hmm. Thought that was a great program, especially for sixth grade, just to help broaden the students' perspectives. Can you speak to like how that came about, and how is that funded now?
Yeah, so the program, the only funding that we have to pay for, because there, I think there's a partnership through the YMCA to offer this for schools, is for the buses to get there. So it's a relatively low-cost field trip, if you will, for our students. We do it in the fall of sixth grade, and we do it with that intention of, we have two elementary schools coming together. We want to make sure they see themselves in a new light as middle school students, and we also want to create, you know, middle school can be a scary transition, and there's a lot of nerves, and there's a lot of things to, you know, adjust to, and that idea of setting goals, taking risks, leaning on each other, trusting your teammates, I think are important lessons that they can learn. And then I was just walking by, we still have a lot of pictures up from the fall of the students in action, which I think is just a very, again, valuable experience to kick off their orientation into middle school. So we like to continue that. We noticed that the program at the North Attleboro Y ends up offering a little bit more as far as the ropes experience, which is the highlight for the students. So we like to, we've been going there versus Franklin, but it's through the Hockomock. And again, like I said, it's a relatively low cost to us with, I think, the benefit of giving that experience for our students and letting them see what another local organization can provide too.
Great, no, thank you, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, definitely something worthwhile. And I wasn't aware that the other middle schools as well participated as well, so that's great that it's...
I know they have in the past. I don't know if they went this year, but yeah. I know that in the past the different schools have all gone. I think depending on how they do their orientation, they may or may not go.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But once again, continue doing the great work that you and your employees do. It definitely sets a great foundation for them when they transition to high school, just to have those skills and experience and exposure to different things. So thank you.
Thanks a lot for the presentation and just kind of the information as to what all y'all are doing. Couple things that really stuck out to me, and actually it's echoing some of what my colleagues have already said, is the importance of really kind of bringing kids out and kind of getting them out of their shell and moving past just education, where they're engaging with the community and really seeing kind of the importance of that. And just the sheer number of things that you have at the school that have various aspects of community engagement, I thought were really interesting. But then also looking at what is actually being taught in school and the subjects. As a geneticist myself, I did enjoy the fact that you're already addressing some rather complex things.
Yeah.
It amazes me how much that has kind of drifted down. Mm-hmm. For us, it was like sophomore, junior year of high school was the first time we heard those words.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate the fact that you can convey complex situations like that and that you have those kind of really holistic, engaging science programs. So please keep that up. I think it's really important.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you again so much. Greatly appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. So we'll move on to discussion action items, starting with the FY25 budget.
Okay. The hearing, we had the superintendent's recommended budget come before you last meeting. We discussed the Q&A, and at this point, I'm going to be put forth. I recommend approval of the FY25 school budget in the amount of $81,319,261, as discussed.
All right. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the FY25 Franklin Public Schools budget.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Open the floor up for discussions, questions, comments. We start it all off. Ms. Gallagher, if you have anything to say, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just I think that this budget really reflects the needs of the schools right now, and it's really That's it. It's my phone.
Thank you very much.
Much of the same. I think this is really going to be an important decision for us, and it really highlights what is going to be required to really put together a holistic package for educating our students in this day and age.
Okay. Just want to say thank you to Dr. Dutch and his team. I know I've had asked a million questions about the budget and asked a lot of changes to be made, but I appreciate the work that's been done to the line-by-line budget item. Seeing the FTEs from FY24 to FY25 in relation to what we're asking for FY25 helped really clarify things, because you look at something and you say, okay, well, it's $175,000, and it's like, well, what is this? You assume it's like one person, and you come to find out it's two, three people, and you're like, okay, this is more rational, and it's easy to digest. So thank you for that. For the folks that may have not looked at the updated budget, please do so. I think this will help make more sense in terms of what's being asked, because at the end of the day, what's supporting our students are people, and understanding the people that are there and the amount of people to support it. You reduce one person, we cut X amount of dollars, it's a person, and how does that impact the services that your students are getting? So definitely appreciate that change.
Happy to have done it, and I appreciate all the questions and requests for clarification. When you're doing the budget, you're in it, and you're very familiar, and you know everything, and you assume that the general public does as well. And so I appreciate another set of eyes looking at it from a different perspective. It helps. Thank you.
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you to Lucas, Bob, Tina, Paula, Jana, and everyone who put long hours into this. It's a monumentous task, particularly considering our current fiscal situation, both for the school and the town. Certainly wasn't easy. It's hard taking a look at our current situation and projecting out to see where we are, where we're going, and contrasting that with where we'd like to be. But I think the information that you presented us both over these past few months, as well as in joint budget subcommittee meeting and our conversations, it's been a wonderful opportunity for everyone on this committee to truly vet, go through, ask questions, and get that information out there and the understanding of where we are. And this vote tonight certainly is not the end, as we all know. It's going to be, we have still quite the journey ahead of us, both our work on this committee as well as work with our partners on the town part of government. So, thank you again. We appreciate it. And this is, what, again, our values that we're putting in to provide the best possible educational experience for Franklin Public School students that we can within the means that we have and where we would like to be. And it's certainly not the end of the road. And we'll look forward to continuing the work and doing the best we can for our Franklin Public Schools and the town as a whole. So thank you.
I am, the only sort of feedback I've been getting from the parents that I talk to is, are we asking for enough? Because I think we all can agree we'd like to maybe have some more breathing room, but there's other sort of big fish to tackle, or big projects to tackle, and efficiencies and things like that through facilities and whatnot. But for now, I'm just kind of speaking to the constituency, the stakeholders out there that are putting pressure on me personally, because I'm sort of like this override person to get the number, higher, to just give more room. But I think that this is a very fiscally responsible, pragmatic, smart budget, and we put pressure on our administration to the best they can. And I think that this is a realistic budget so that we can sort of breathe and then do maybe in the future, instead of having to come for an override of $10 million, we can say, hey, we need $200,000 for this particular curriculum, and we can do these little sort of project, asks of the community that are a little more palatable. But, it's been a long time since the community has been asked to vote on a ballot question. So I just want to convey to everybody that sort of wants me to
could push for more, that I do believe that this is going to give us the room to make more investments and creative decisions going forward. So I'm going to, you know, obviously approve this. So thanks.
I would like to thank Lucas and team for patiently answering all the questions. And I got the feedback like it's a really very tight budget, and I definitely needed the override for the benefit of our future Franklin. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. And I also get an opportunity to chat too. Not nearly close to 10 o'clock either, so I can keep going. Lucas, your entire staff, this is a fantastic budget. You know, there's definitely always opportunities to kind of grow and expand. There was that whole, I mean, we asked you to do 4 budgets. One of those was that Thrive model that I think is, you know, there's a lot more that we can do in the years to come. And but what we have in front of us that stabilize and that partially restore, you know, still amounts to, it's a 12.9% increase, with this budget, when historically the allocation has been about, like, I think 2.7%. We're certainly going to know more in the coming days. I think on Friday, the town administrator releases his recommended budget. And, but unfortunately, just looking at the realities, it's unlikely, I think, is a very fair statement to say that we're actually, you know, be able to see this 12.9% increase to kind of come in with this budget that we have. And, so I just want to just state, tomorrow there's a town council meeting, and I'll be there kind of speaking just at the citizens' comment, just in support of this budget as we go to approve it, with the request that, my colleagues kind of do what they can to be able to fund this budget as it stands. Up to an operational override, if that's what it's going to be required, because at the end of the day, Franklin's tax base just does not have the funds to be able to kind of sustain a 12.9% increase. But this is a budget that has been very well vetted and is required in order to kind of continue to educate our children moving forward. I want to thank all of my committee members, and superintendent, your entire office, for putting forth this budget, and look forward to conversations with my other colleagues as well, as we do kind of move forward, to kind of show support for this budget, because we do need to be able to fund the education of our children, and just historically, the numbers aren't aligning. I think in the days to come, as the town administrator does release his report, we'll have a much clearer idea of exactly where we stand. How close the town is able to get to this $81 million budget, and then we'll just have continued conversations moving forward, or I hope that we do, to be able to make it so that we can get to this number. So.
I'll wait.
No,
you're up. I'm not going to follow up the chair and his comments. I'll wait for the process to unfold.
All right. That's it. Unless there's any other questions, comments. All right. Seeing none, the vote will come on a roll call motion.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah.
Sorry. I do think I've done sort of what the community has asked of us as school committee members, and gone out and talked to the town council, met with people one-on-one, tons of phone calls, tons of emailing, and I do feel like we have a solid chance to get on stable footing here. I do think we have the majority support of parents that are aware
So I guess I just want to speak to the community while the subject's here that you can make a difference. You can email the council and ask them to support these experts who are bringing this budget forward and what is required. This isn't like a, this isn't a, like you pointed out, this isn't the Thrive budget. This is the stabilized budget. So, you know, anybody out there who wants to help our efforts and our advocacy can lend that sort of statement over to the town council and, you know, speak during citizen comments and just encourage this budget, because I know that we certainly will be. You know, we've talked to the Office of Campaign Finance. We had a special meeting last week and they said, you all are volunteers. You are elected officials. You could be working for this override committee if you want, clearly. But I just think that, you know, citizens, you have one email goes a long way. It's more impactful than you may think. Even a simple couple lines saying, you know, we really support the schools putting forth this budget and the work that the superintendent and his team has done. So, okay, that's all I'll say. Thank you.
All right. We'll come on roll call motion. Gallagher?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampoli?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
And Callahan? Yes. All right. Motion carries. All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you all for your support, and we appreciate the feedback and comments that you did provide. And I know you were the ears to the community when you received information and had questions. We appreciated hearing it. And then I want to thank the community for also contacting Dr. Dutch or me directly or Ms. Malotti directly around questions. And we just appreciate your support in trying to move this forward for the betterment of our system. And it's not lost on us. So thank you very much. And we'll just move to the next stage in the process. Okay?
All right. Thank you all. Then next up, we got school choice.
I recommend the school committee not accept new school choice students for the 24-25 school year as discussed.
Is there a motion?
Move to not accept new school choice students for the 24-25 school year as discussed.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussions, questions?
Can I just add a little bit of context as well? So every year, the school committee is required to vote annually on whether you would accept school choice students. That's a program that exists within Massachusetts where varying districts make, the school committees make an approval. If you have space and slots that you could have students come from another community to join our school system, we have in the past, probably 15 years ago, was probably the last time that we had voted. A lot of it had to do with enrollment. I will say that because we are in the midst of a master facilities plan and trying to determine what we need to do for the residents, I think we need to prioritize the students who live within our community before we can open up any classroom seats and accept others. It's not to say it's off the table. It's an annual vote. But I would say in this case, I would not recommend that we open up something that we have not had open for the last 15 years until we have solid footing and a very clear strategic plan on how we will navigate the next decade with short-term and long-term goals related to master facilities planning.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Seeing no discussion, action. Any discussions or questions? We'll do another roll call vote. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
Callahan? Yes. Sullivan?
Yes.
And Sampoli?
Yes.
All right, motion carries.
Thank you. I recommend adoption of policy JFABB, admittance of foreign exchange students, as discussed. This is a second read, so it's up for adoption.
Is there a motion as discussed?
Move to adopt policy JFABB, admittance of foreign exchange students, as discussed.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Discussions, questions, comments? All right. Seeing none, vote will come on a motion. Again, roll call. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
Callahan, yes. O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampoli?
Yes.
Jumping the gun. Thank you very much. All right, discussion only items, none. For two, information matters. Superintendent evaluation.
Superintendent evaluation has not yet met. However, we have discussed a timeline, and we'll have the presentation of the evidence next month and a better established timeline for members to submit the evaluations and have a report by the end of the school year. So stay tuned for that.
Okay. And budget.
So budget was approved tonight unanimously, which we are all a fan of. But as mentioned, is certainly not the end of this discussion. Please, everyone, stay tuned for the continued discussion in terms of the broader town budget, as well as the approved number for us. Our next budget meeting for the subcommittee, I believe, is scheduled for the 30th. However, there will also be a joint town and school committee meeting on April the 24th, Wednesday, where the overall financial picture, as well as the subject of override, will be discussed. So, and then we also have the upcoming finance committee and town budget hearing. So work is certainly not done. Please stay tuned, stay informed.
All right, policy.
Policy we met tonight. We started drafting some information about fundraising, just to tighten that policy up. And just we adopted tonight the foreign exchange policy. So nothing too juicy, just, you know, we'll be meeting same time next month.
Community relations.
Yep. Our normal meeting was supposed to be yesterday. We delayed it due to the comprehensive facilities family forum for visiting yesterday. So we are meeting tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Okay. And how about joint PCC?
Yep. We met yesterday at a normal time. Mr. Giguere spent some time reviewing the budget situation and just getting the PCC up to speed.
And real quick before we move on with the community relations, again, loving the newsletter. Absolutely fantastic. Great job. And thanks for all the work from the whole committee that went into that. If you haven't checked it out, I think that I know it's on Facebook, and it got broadcast as well via regroup to all families, correct?
Correct, yep. And it's also on the school committee website as well. There's a newsletter section that has an archive of all of the previous newsletters.
Wonderful. It's fantastic. How about SWAC?
Yeah, we met last week. Most of the time we discussed about the June some upcoming farmers market. And we discussed how to develop the website for the SWAC as well.
Oh, awesome. And then mental health and well-being?
Met this morning, and the two videos now that we have in sort of draft form will be ready probably the next meeting or two. And then we'll get that attached to the community relations newsletter.
Awesome.
And also, yeah, going out. So we're going to be at the Strawberry Stroll also, like the Mental Health and Wellbeing Task Force will have a booth. So that'll be helpful. That's June 7th. Yeah, okay.
DEI?
DEI's next meeting is April 25th.
All right. And comprehensive facility assessment? You want to?
I shared a brief update in the superintendent's report, but I defer to you or anyone else who wants to talk to as well.
So we've had two kind of quick back-to-back meetings. I know we had last week, it was just last week that we met, and where one of the things we kept kind of we really talking about. Was, I know Mike D'Angelo, again, kind of gave really great insight into the capital improvements over the next 10 years, really kind of being able to take a look at all of the different projects that are going to be down the road or currently scheduled for each of the buildings, just so that way we kind of have a clearer idea of, you know, we got a number of different buildings, facilities here, which ones are going to need the repairs, the roofs, the boilers, and also which ones too. I think he spoke about, I know, like the complex is about how much life they still have, with a couple of little updates here or there. Even got on to talk about insulation and heating, and that's actually something I had reached out to him as well. I'd love to be able to kind of share back hopefully soon, but a breakdown of each of the buildings and just kind of how much it costs to heat and to kind of run each of the buildings that we have. And this week, we've been having some community forums, mm-hmm. Some forums, I should say, on Monday, just yesterday, we had a family community forum where, again, Dr. Walker kind of presented a lot of the information, some of the information that she already kind of presented back to us on the 26th about Portrait of a Graduate, about educational visioning, and just where we had an opportunity for some food media engagement. And then Superintendent Jagir, and then we had some for teachers as well.
Mm-hmm. We had a forum yesterday during the eclipse with our secondary educators, and then today, with the beautiful sunshine day, we had our elementary join us after school. And so far, we've tried to just bring people along. I call it measured transparency, kind of having accurate information to share. But I will say the takeaways thus far this week have really added a lot of good information for considerations, for concerns, for goals and hopes, and ways to mitigate concerns. I thought that was an interesting question to ask people, like, hey, I'm curious about, you know, X, Y, and Z. And to build off of our school committee member Griffith's point around just trying to make sure that we provide as much information that's as clear as possible as we move along in the process. I anticipate the outcomes of these forums has really generated a lot of great information. In addition to, that's one element of multiple things that we need to consider as we consider master planning across the board. So you brought up facilities, facilities, kind of the nuts and bolts mechanical. We talk about enrollment. We need to discuss how we're organized, how does our ed visioning and the outcomes of that work tie into how we anticipate educating students, how our in-district programming and special education programming exists across all of our schools. So I do think this is not a situation that we're gathering as much as possible, but I don't anticipate not having some really clear information for folks this year and even by the end of the month and into May. I think we know enough. And I'll just reiterate to the community, if you've been paying attention, we have been talking about these types of concepts since for a long time. But I do know after the closure of Davis Thayer, the redistricting of students there, the redistricting assessment that we conducted last year that school committee member Charles and I oversaw, it's all the forums from that and kind of where we landed today is last year there was a concerted effort to say we need a little more information in a long-term plan that considers all options, and this is what we are doing, and I think we're trying to get on the table, like, hey, let's really zone out and let's provide tangible, realistic, rational options for our district. And I think we owe it to our students, we owe it to our community to just really do this work and do it well. But I anticipate in the coming month and even month and a half that we should have some real tangible ideas of how we can implement and what would make the most sense for our district as we look not only to a year, 2 years, but a decade down the road.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. And on that note, too, I think the next meeting that we have for that subcommittee will be May 1. All right. Go into consent agenda.
I recommend approval of the minutes from the March 19th, 2024 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $3,500 from the Franklin Educational Foundation for supplemental supplies as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $6,900 from the Keller PCC for field trips as detailed. I recommend acceptance of two checks totaling $455 from music parents as detailed, $40 for in-house enrichment and $415 for field trips. I recommend approval of the request of Brad Hendrickson to take first graders to the Providence, Rhode Island Children's Museum on May 2nd as detailed. I recommend approval of the request of Brad Hendrickson to take second graders to the Roger Williams Zoo in Providence, Rhode Island on June 6, 2024 as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $3,760 from the Annie Sullivan Middle School PCC for field trips as detailed.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as detailed?
Move to approve the consent agenda as detailed.
Second?
Second.
All right. Any discussions, questions? All right. Roll call. Gallagher?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
McNeil?
Yes.
Callahan, yes. O'Sullivan?
Yes.
And Sampali?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. All right, up next, we got good of the order. Again, first meeting of the month, have an opportunity for school committee members to weigh in on any items you want to kind of discuss in the future, or ways in which you kind of see us improve in any way, shape, or form.
I just want to take the opportunity. So we had a great time, multiple conversations today around facilities, around the potential, discussions for redistricting and making sure that analysis is done. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see that we put a specific line item on the agenda to discuss that, so that people understand that that is in fact what we're discussing when we're talking about these, the different planning committees and looking at facilities, that we are, basically, use that exact terminology so that people are aware, and they also have a window to look in if they are pressed for time, knowing, possibly right after the superintendent's update, just having that line item right in there so that everyone has an opportunity and knows that we are talking about this now, so that when we continue talking about it for the next 3 months, next 6 months, it has been very well publicized. And also potentially during that, looking at timing updates. I know we've said we're about 2/3 of the way through now. Mm-hmm. Time starts becoming clearer as we get towards the end. I'd absolutely realize that. But if we can start giving dates as to whether, this is when we're going to have additional information, this is when we're going to have, potential times for decisions and guidance for when people can really make sure to voice their opinions kind of along that way, I think that'd be really helpful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gallagher?
No, please let me.
Okay.
No, I'm okay.
I'm good, thank you.
All right. All right, then moving on, citizens' comments. Are there any citizens in the audience, in person or online, who would like to make a comment on an item not on tonight's agenda and falls within the committee's purview? This cousin. Sorry, Dr. Rogers, did we have someone with a hand raised?
We did, and it appears that they took their hand down. Oh, no, it's back. We do.
All right. I'll just ask if we can get name, address, and try to keep it within 3 minutes, please.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Hi, this is Selena Cousin, 114B3. As a parent of a sixth grader who's new to middle school this year, I just wanted to express that many of us are just still so disappointed about the lack of clubs and leadership opportunities for these middle school kids. As we enter the third and final trimester of the year, I can't help but compare this sixth grader's middle school experience so far with that of his older brother, pre-COVID, 5 years ago. And while I appreciate I listened to the earlier presentation, I know how creative everyone's trying to be, but these sixth grade kids, at least the ones from Kennedy, and I believe from the other schools as well, also have no clubs or student council or after-school activities in elementary schools pre-COVID, which for the class of 2030 began in first grade. So still with no clubs and way too few leadership opportunities, I just wanted to take a minute to continue to express my concern and others' concern as well, that this cohort of students has really missed out and continues to really miss out on these important activities that are helping them become well-rounded leaders of our community. And I just strongly want to encourage our community to consider passing an override that will afford these kids with at least the same opportunities as the students who came before them, if not more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Rogers, anyone else online?
Not here, so.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Then move on to new business.
As Mr. McNeil mentioned, we have a joint town and school meeting, in essence a meeting with town council and school committee that will take place on April 24th. I'm just confirming the time as I look here. I want to say 7 p.m., but
I think that's accurate.
I have 7 p.m. at Franklin High School. just the change in venue in order to accommodate the community in a more open, comfortable setting. So that will take place at Franklin High at 7 p.m. on April 24th. Our next meeting coming up, in the next few meetings, Mr. McNeil also mentioned superintendent evidence of the work that I've done, but ultimately we want to also include in that, or in those messaging and the presentation, is the work of the district from the district improvement plans, so that we can communicate where we are with those and provide some metrics and measures of how, what we've been able to do and our progress towards those goals. And ultimately the biggest things on the agenda are really looking at the continuation of the budget conversations that need to take place, and the master facilities are the two priorities that we have within the district to really move those forward and prioritize those in the coming weeks.
All right, thank you very much. And then so lastly, I'll look for to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
I have one thing I want to say to people.
I was going
to
hit that gavel.
Don't do it. One more thing. I want to tell people that who are waiting to see what would be the cuts if the override fails, that that is being worked on, at least on the school side, that I know for sure is a very delicate and difficult thing to navigate, I'm sure, because I'm sure that the teachers are feeling a little insecure right now, rightfully so. So I think by the joint meeting that we have with the town council, I would expect we could talk about some of those things that are at stake, that people are sort of asking us for in some sort of official correspondence from the school district. So we hear you, and we're doing that also, that sort of doomsday budget, I guess. So great thing to end on. Sorry.
All right.
I would like to thank all the email senders across our school district. The great emails, and some of them are provided great information about each and everything. Thank you for everyone there.
Thank you. All right. Then, seeing no other vote, will come on a roll call. Gallagher.
Yes.
Griffith.
Yes.
Charles.
Yes.
McNeil.
Yes.
Callahan. Yes. O'Sullivan.
Yes.
Sampali.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.